So standing or sitting or lying down, let's begin. In fact, let's lie on, please lie on your back. Let me look for a little so I've been getting some mileage out of looking at Awareness Through Movement, the book by Feldenkrais. And in his early, in one of his introductory chapters, Where to Begin and How, he talks about various things. One of those is, let's see. Oh, he makes points and then elaborates on them. Things like movement is the basis of awareness, which is a discusses a little bit how, you know, we don't know the state of the nervous system directly. It's not like you feel your own nervous system. You feel the state of your nervous system when nervous activity has results for you in your breathing or your movement or your digestion, things like that. It's known through that route. And he follows up with a section on breathing, saying breathing is movement. So if I read from here directly, our breathing reflects every emotional or physical effort and every disturbance. It's also sensitive to the vegetative processes. Those are the, you know, the fundamental ones for life that we don't control at all. Disturbances of the thyroid gland, for instance, cause a special kind of breathing that serves to diagnose this disease. Any strong, sudden stimulus causes a halt in breathing. Everyone knows from experience how closely linked breathing is with every change of feeling or anticipation of a strong emotion. Throughout the history of mankind, we find systems and rules designed to induce a calming effect by improved breathing. The human skeleton is so constructed that it's almost impossible to organize breathing properly without also satisfactorily placing the skeleton with respect to gravity. The reorganization of breathing alone succeeds only to the degree that we succeed indirectly in improving the organization of the skeletal muscles for better standing and better movement. So if we proceed from there, another of his sort of fundamental lessons, we can begin. Can you hear all right, Ralph? Okay.
Hearing. I'm going to get hearing aids.
You are going to get hearing aids? Okay. Nice. Well, I'll stand over here. How about that? All right. So as you rest on your back, perhaps you're already noting your contact with the floor. Having mentioned the process of breathing, perhaps you'll notice or have noted some features of that, characteristics of it, how you start a breath, whether you notice the start of a breath. And perhaps you notice some sensation related to breathing, the movement of air through the nostrils or mouth, through the across the palate, above the palate, if you're breathing through the nose, through the sinuses, perhaps the sensation of air in the throat, or maybe even the upper bronchial tubes. And you know, too, your shape on the floor, your how the ribs rest on the floor behind you. The pelvis and the head, two shoulders. Particularly, you could note the angles of the head, how it rests, whether the nose is tipped up a little, which would be overhead to the wall above you, since the mat is behind you. or whether it's tipped a little down perhaps, or whether it seems fairly neutral that you'd be looking directly at the ceiling in front of you. And you get a sort of snapshot of that here at the beginning. And so now we will stand the feet. So stand your 2 feet so the knees are forward and balanced. If to the degree that you can find your hip joints, you know roughly where they are. Often they're a little more central than you might expect. Some recent lessons, maybe that's clarified a little bit and maybe develop over time. If you can kind of make a plane that includes the hip joints on each side, the knee on that side, and the heel, and the space between the big toe and the one next to it. See if that's possible to use as a tool to stand the feet so that they balance easily. And if not, if you need to, maybe you can tilt that plane a little bit, or maybe you take the feet a little bit apart together so that you can simply stand the feet and not have to concern yourself with balancing them too much. All right, so begin to focus on the inhalation and note whether there's movement in the rib cage before you change anything. And now begin to intentionally expand the chest with the inhalation. And then you exhale, of course, and in no particular way. So note where you move. So with the feet standing, the low back is a little closer to the floor, perhaps. You note if you can find expansion of the rib cage, that it's not just forward and in. Ensure that you don't lift the low back away from the floor with the idea that you're expanding the rib cage, when in fact the low back, the back ribs can expand toward the floor, press the floor a little bit as the chest expands. The sternum, the breastbone moves forward away from the floor a little bit as perhaps more of the ribs come into contact with the floor. Maybe the clavicles, the collarbones separate a little bit. You just be intentional about actually expanding the rib cage as you inhale. You can do that at any point. You can pause and leave off any kind of intentional breathing and take a breath or two that doesn't include any conscious control. You note, is there any expansion of those back ribs toward the floor? And what happens in the neck, the back of the neck? Can you leave that be as you expand the chest? And again, you can note how the chest falls or the rib cage gets a little smaller on the exhalation. And don't overdo it. You don't have to push hard or anything, but be sure you're intentionally increasing the volume of the rib cage a little bit as you inhale. So you're looking for the movement of the rib cage associated with inhalation. All right, then leave it, extend the legs and rest. All right, stand the feet once more. And now recall that action of expanding the rib cage in all directions, front, back, left, right, up a little bit in the direction of the head perhaps. And without inhaling or exhaling, just see if you can recreate that movement where you expand the rib cage in all directions without tying it to the inhalation. So it's possible that you can sort of leave the airway, not sort of, in fact, leave the airway open. One way to hold your breath is to close the glottis so you kind of catch your breath. Another way is to just simply leave the airway open, but not inhale or exhale. And then just expand the rib cage. So take care that you don't lift the low back or the neck. It's not that you reshaped the spine to expand the rib cage. You take care that you do it with some delicacy. It doesn't need to be a strong movement. You just look for a little intentional expansion of the rib cage without inhaling or exhaling. And of course, breathe however you like occasionally. And you see that it's possible to explore this movement a little without inhaling or exhaling. Of course, you'll find a little air moving in or out, very likely. But you don't have to tie the inhalation to the expansion of the chest. You can try holding your breath in different ways a little bit and take care that you don't, again, that you don't do more than you need to find sort of a noticeable expansion of the rib cage. All right, then leave it for just a moment. You can leave the legs long or stand them however you prefer. Note already if you're, as you rest, if you note any difference in your breathing. Sometimes we note difference simply because we've entrained our attention. All right, stand the feet again if they're not standing already. So the feet are. Soles of the feet are on the floor, the knees are forward, the feet are standing, the knees are bent. And now put your fingertips on the lower abdomen somewhere. So that's below the belly button. So you can palpate a little bit, move the fingers around. You can find the pubic bone there, kind of at the base of the abdomen. And then you can locate the navel. And you just sort of note the size of that area. And you put your hands somewhere where you can rest them more or less. And the fingertips are somewhere between the pubic bone and the navel. And now, this time, again, expand the chest as you inhale. And once you've inhaled fully, which isn't to say extra, just when you've reached a full inhale, hold the breath, close the glottis, and then compress the chest so that it's like the action of exhaling. And note what happens in the belly. So you can hold your breath for a few cycles here that with the breath held, you bring the sternum back, you make the action in the rib cage as if exhaling, and note how that affects the belly. Perhaps it expands. You can sense that very likely in the fingertips. a little movement there. And then, of course, you pause and take a few breaths. And then return to it, expanding the chest with an inhalation, the rib cage in all directions, back into the floor, out to the sides, especially at the low ribs, the chest lifting, and then hold the breath, perhaps closing the glottis there, and then close the, make the rib cage smaller as if exhaling, but let that move the abdomen. And so as you try this out several times with some breathing, you take a breath in between once in a while, of course. Note if the expansion in the abdomen can happen in all directions as well. Forward into the hands, back into the floor, and also down into the pelvic floor, base of the pelvis, or the anus, the perineum, genitals, etc. You can feel that part of the abdomen very low. Perhaps you feel a little expansion there as well. You may have to look for it or allow it. And so you compress the chest to expand the belly, and then maybe you can compress the belly to expand the chest while holding the breath. Maybe you can do two or three or five or six, something like that. And there's no need to push to make that a lot longer or more cycles. You just do so comfortably. Just explore this relationship between expanding the belly, expanding the low abdomen, and expanding the rib cage. And again, we note here that this is without breathing, actually, since the breath is being held. All right, and leave it, extend the legs, bring the arms alongside and rest. So Feldenkrais comments here, this is a lesson that includes some commentary and writing. In the quasi-liquid contents of the abdomen, pressure distributes itself equally in all directions. It's a characteristic of fluid systems, right? Or quasi-fluid in this case. However, most people at first fail to expand their stomach in all directions in this exercise unless they have a strong and well-developed back and hips. Instead, they strain the muscles of the back and the neighborhood of the hips until the spine rises from the ground. Attention must therefore be paid to establishing equal pressure in the stomach, the belly, in all directions, including backward toward the floor. When you can do this, you will find that pushing the stomach out or forward will expel air from the lungs. So, if you stand your feet, again, you can take this up, expand the chest on an inhalation, and then expanding the belly and the chest. And then at some point, after you've got the belly expanded, rather to begin the exhalation, expand the belly so that especially the low abdomen gets a little more full, and see if you can exhale with that expansion of the belly. Then you don't need to, you can begin to not hold the breath, but expand the chest as you inhale, and then, though it may seem paradoxical, you expand the belly, especially the low belly, near the pubic bone, below the navel, in order to start the exhalation. And You can put your fingertips back on your low abdomen to try this out, and then you can, if that seems a little elusive, once the belly is expanded a little bit, try coughing and see if you note when you push, if you note an expansion in the low abdomen there. Often that's a place where that becomes clear how that expansion of the low abdomen especially can be associated with exhalation, especially a sudden exhalation. Why don't you take care that you're not doing too much, as Feldenkrais states in his commentary, that you're not lifting the low back or the neck. And you just check it out a little bit, that it's possible to at least initiate the exhalation by expanding the low abdomen. All right, then leave it, extend the legs, take the arms alongside and rest. You just note how the movements of breathing associate with inhalation and exhalation when you're not doing anything in particular. And perhaps if you had any sense that you were doing something with the back of the neck or the low back at any point, whether there's any sort of residual from that, or certainly you can just attend to sensation in the low back and neck, or just note the movements of breathing. All right, stand the 2 feet. Now with an inhalation, expand the rib cage, specifically the upper part of the trunk. So in all directions, back into the floor and back, and you do that a couple times. And then once you've expanded the rib cage with an inhalation, hold the breath and then go back and forth with the breath held, shrinking the chest and pressing, expanding the lower belly, the abdomen, the whole belly, in all directions, down toward the perineum, back into the floor. And so then you can alternate holding your breath, a little movement of expanding the belly, then expanding the chest. So intentionally take the front of the abdomen toward the floor, shrink the belly and expand the chest, and then shrink the chest and expand the belly while holding your breath. And you take it easy, that you're not adding anything you don't need to do that. It's more about the expansion and contraction of parts of the trunk than it is about any work in the neck or low back. Making that differentiation is of interest here. And of course, you pause and take a breath or two whenever you like. And the next time you take it up, do this expansion and contraction, a kind of pushing between the top and the bottom of the trunk, a little more quickly. So you hold the breath and just a little more rapidly expand one by squeezing the other, squeeze one to expand the other. And you take a breath when you need to, and then try it holding the breath, pushing back and forth, seesawing between the top and the bottom of the abdomen, that is the belly and the rib cage, as quickly as you comfortably can before you start to do other extraneous work. So it's a real kind of a quick bup, 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 bup. And notice if you can note anything in the middle of yourself. The diaphragm is there, below the lungs, above the contents of the abdomen. When you press this way, you may be able to infer its location, or maybe you'll even note something there. You can feel a little movement up and down in the direction of the head and to the floor, particularly when you're moving quickly like this. All right, and leave it. Unless you would like to continue for a couple, you're welcome to do that. When you're ready to rest, rest. And simply note what it's like, what the movements of breathing are like, what moves when you're not doing anything in particular. So the function of breathing, it's a very interesting one. It's autonomic in that, and it's necessary for life. If we are asleep and not attending to it at all, or just going about our activities, we do breathe. And yet, the movements of breathing are available for voluntary manipulation or control. All right, we'll continue. Roll over to your front side. So you do what you can with your face. Maybe you turn your head to one side. Maybe you can use your forehead on the floor and put the arms kind of near the sides of the head somewhere so that you have a little bit of support and the shoulders are there. You can extend them if you like or just put them somewhere comfortably. And first note what your breathing is like as you rest on your front. Now down is in the world is forward. And now without holding your breath, inhale, expand the chest and hold the breath, and do what we were just doing a moment ago, squeezing and alternating the squeezing of the rib cage and the belly to kind of move this, as Feldenkrais says, quasi-liquid contents up and down, the kind of seesawing action. What's that like here on the front? Now, of course, expansion forward is constrained by the floor. Maybe you can note that the low back is the backside of the belly now, that expands when you expand the abdomen. And when you expand the rib cage, that maybe there's a little more movement laterally, especially at the low ribs. Of course, you take a breath occasionally with no particular intent, and then you come back to alternating an expansion and contraction of the belly and the rib cage. See what that's like here on the front. How is it different? Do you note expansion in a different place? If you're doing any extraneous action in the pelvis or the neck or the shoulders, is it different here on the front? And if you have your head one way or the other, to try the other side, see if that affects the sort of feeling of symmetry on the two sides of the rib cage and the abdomen. As you seesaw the chest and belly, and that expansion, especially the belly, is still in all directions, down toward the pelvic floor, forward into the floor, out to the sides. All right, then leave it and rest on your back. I'll note where you find movement when you're not doing anything in particular. I'll note if that movement has changed. What moves, where it moves, the quality of the movement, the depth of it. In other words, if the breathing is different. All right, stand the feet again here on the back, and now try out this movement of alternately expanding the rib cage and the belly in all directions, but just continue the normal rate of breathing or pace of breathing. So you inhale and exhale and alternate the expansion of the chest and the abdomen without tying them. So you sort of pick a rate to alternately expand the rib cage and the belly and just breathe, otherwise breathe relatively normally, relatively unspecifically. And you see to what degree that's possible, whether you tend to inhale when you expand one or the other. And see if you can make them a little independent, that you can make these movements with the rib cage and the abdomen, and the action of breathing isn't specifically tied to these movements. You can try making the alternation a little quicker or slower as you like, and see if you can leave the breathing, the inhalation and the exhalation, be. It's likely affected, of course, but it's also possible to make it relatively independent of the action of the expanding the rib cage and expanding the belly. You know, whether you find the diaphragm or infer it a little more clearly when you undertake an action like this. And note whether the expansion feels to you symmetric, or the action is symmetrical from left to right, either in the rib cage or the abdomen. You don't have to do anything to change it, just at this point, just note it. If there's asymmetry in the rib cage or in the belly, left to right, right to left. Then leave it, extend the legs, rest. So the two legs are not necessarily involved in breathing so much, although the psoas muscles on either side do connect up near the bottom of the rib cage and actually kind of overlap, especially on one side, with the connections for the diaphragm. And they do also extend all the way down to the inner part of the upper leg. So there is some involvement of the action of breathing with the legs, but at the top, the top limbs, the clavicles are actually the only bony connection of the arm to the rest of the skeleton. And so when the top of the rib cage expands or contracts, the shoulders are necessarily involved. That top rib is where the collarbones connect in the front, and that, of course, following that rib ring around to the base of the neck, top of the back, is where the bony connection of the arms to the spine is. So the rib cage is involved in breathing, freedom in the arms is also possible if the breathing becomes a little more free. All right, roll again to your front, in the arms, up by the head somewhere, and now take up this action of seesawing the chest and the belly, but without holding your breath. So you see, as we did on the back, you can leave the cycling of breathing relatively unaffected and expand and shrink the rib cage and the belly alternately. Again, likely this action's a little more complex than simply breathing or simply tying the expansions and contractions with inhalation and exhalation. Maybe for you it's more simple. At any rate, you allow, there's more than one way that the lungs can expand, which is how air is drawn in, so to speak. You find that you can alternate this expansion of the top and bottom of the trunk without necessarily doing one thing or another with the inhalation and exhalation. And if it's a little elusive, you do it a little more lightly or small. You can drive the head in one direction or the other. And note here, if you find any asymmetries left to right in the rib cage, or the action of the rib cage, or the way the rib cage rests on the floor, or the belly. Again, you don't need to change them at this point. Just note any difference you find or don't find. All right, come to the back and rest. Feldenkrais says here in the lesson, a truly symmetrical spine does not exist. It's rare to find a truly symmetrical spine. In most cases, the plane of the shoulders and chest is twisted relative to the plane of the pelvis, and as a result, all movements are performed more easily on one side of the body than the other. In the early years, when a child tends to make random movements of great variety, this does not matter at all. Maturity, however, persons tend to repeat a limited number of movements, sometimes for hours on end, to the neglect of other movements. We then accustom ourselves to this restricted number of movements, and the skeletal structure adjusts to them, changes result, and posture becomes crooked. In other words, there's postural effects. So we can observe that by experimenting, particularly on the front. So come once again to the front. Roll to put the belly in front to the floor. Bring the hands up Now sense the midline. You can find, if you imagined a plane that separated the right from the left, down the whole back, the pelvis, the head, or you could turn the head to one side if that's more straightforward. Something we work out eventually in ATM, that you can rest your forehead or your chin or your teeth and nose or face somehow if you'd like to be forward. Otherwise, you turn the head and rest on the cheek or closer to the ear. You sort out, what's your sense of how the distribution of pressure along the front of yourself is, right to left? A little more on the right low ribs or some other part of the chest, or the left, or the left top pelvis is pressed into the floor perhaps more, or maybe you don't note significant difference, but regardless, leaving the breathing kind of normal or undisturbed, take up this action of expanding the chest and shrinking the abdomen, and then expanding the abdomen and shrinking the chest But as you expand the chest, take the more the left side of the chest into the floor, which means maybe you twist the shoulders a little that way, or maybe you get a sense that you can just direct air into the left side of the rib cage or expand intentionally there. At any rate, so you press a little into the floor with the rib cage as you expand, and then go diagonally as you expand the belly and press the right side of the belly into the floor a little bit. Again, it may involve some skeletal adjustments, or maybe you can do it just through expansion. And maybe it's really close to just only imagining it, but you get the sense that you can expand a little more the right belly, and then when you alternate, that you expand a little more the left side of the chest and press it a little more into the floor. And then alternate with pressing the right side of the belly into the floor. So of course the other side of the chest and abdomen are expanding. You sort of bias it toward the left side of the rib cage and the right side of the abdomen. You can change the rate a little bit maybe. So you move a little bit along that diagonal from the right to the left to the right. And pause for a moment, and when you take it up again, change the diagonal so that you expand the right side of the chest a little more, and then the left side of the belly a little more, and you alternate on that diagonal. Again, maybe you have to roll into it just slightly, or maybe you can do it only through kind of the sense of changing the expansion. So you press the right side of the chest into the floor, and then the left side of the belly. You just make it small, gentle, it only really needs to be enough so that it's clear to you that there's a little more pressure into the floor on the right side of the chest and the left side of the belly. You can do it a little more rapidly, that alternation, leaving the breathing be more or less. Right, and then leave that, roll to your back and rest. And note your contact with the floor. What's the breathing like here? If you don't do anything intentional with it. And now here with the limbs long, take up, leaving the breathing continuous, take up the seesawing of expansion of the chest and abdomen now on the back. So as the chest shrinks, the belly expands. As the belly expands, the chest shrinks. This kind of pushing up and down using the expansion of the in all directions, back toward the floor. You note the low ribs in particular, the pelvic floor as you expand the abdomen, and you leave the breathing continuous. See what that's like now here on the back. Do you note expansion in different directions than you did on the front? Certainly now there's a constraint at the back to expansion. You can't expand into the floor. But you can note how you spread on the floor or how contact changes. You can change the rate a little bit of this expansion and contraction, this seesawing of the contents of the torso. And then leave it and simply rest. All right, roll to the right side and extend the arm, the right arm on the floor, rest your head on it. You can do what you need with your knees. And now with the left hand, reach over the top of the head to take the right temple or something like that, the palms relatively near the top of the head, and bend in the middle so you lift the head away from the floor with the help of the arm and shoulder. So you shorten on the left side a little bit and do so comfortably. And now, leaving the breathing continuous, take up seesawing here. So expand the rib cage and note what happens to the position of the head when you expand the ribs, when you expand the belly. Is there a point where the head tends to go toward the floor? When you're expanding one or the other? Now, of course, it's difficult to expand the right ribs are long in this position and the left ones are a little short. Maybe the left ones have to become a little longer as you expand the chest. They come apart a little bit. Perhaps you note the direction of the head, a little toward the floor. Another way to look at it was, when is it easier to allow the head to come away from the floor? When you're expanding the belly or expanding the rib cage. All right, and then leave that. Come across the back to the other side and lay on the left. Reach over the top of the head with the right hand to take the temple or side of the head on the left above the ear and lift the head away from the floor by shortening along that whole right side so that the shape of the spine now is curved toward the floor in the middle, and take up the seesawing here. And note, what direction does the head go, left or right, when you expand the ribs? You don't have to hold the head against that. In fact, see what tends to happen when you expand the ribs or expand the belly. Do you press a little more into the floor? Is it easier to lift with one expansion or the other? And of course, you pause at any time, rest, and take it up if it's interesting. So now we have just a different constraint to the expansion, different with a different position. All right, and leave it, come to the back, rest. Stand the 2 feet. Now, lift the head away from the floor by coming up onto your elbows. So the hands are on the floor, the elbows are on the floor, and you lift the head away from the floor. It's kind of a reverse Sphinx kind of a position. Like you bring your elbows behind you a little bit and rest on the elbows rather than resting on your back. So the head's away from the floor. So you could sit up for just a minute and think, you sit up and then rest back onto your elbows. So the whole forearm is on the floor, but no other part of the arm, and the elbows are behind the shoulders. And let the head here come a little bit forward to the degree that's comfortable. Note how that shapes the spine, what goes back toward the floor, and leaving the breathing normal, relatively unaffected. Expand the chest and abdomen alternately here in this position. And know what happens to the position of the head. When you expand the chest, which direction does the head go? With this constraint. What happens when you expand the belly? Direction of the head. So you don't have to do too many of those to perhaps note that. And then Pause and then let the head hang back to the degree that's comfortable for you, and alternate the expansion of the rib cage and the belly here. And note, when does the head go back a little further? When what expands? If it's uncomfortable, you just need to do one or two to sort it out. Just enough to see when you expand the rib cage or the belly, which direction does the head tend to go? And then come to rest on the back. So when we're standing, the weight of the diaphragm, the contents of the belly, the lungs hang down, the contents hang down. So you may note when you're standing that the inhalation is longer and the exhalation is shorter as those things fall and the chest shrinks, the abdomen expands. So can experiment with that a little bit here. You roll to your front and come to your hands and knees. And leaving the toenails against the floor on your hands and knees, take the top of the head to the floor. You can bend the elbows, of course, and set the top of the head on the floor. And note now what's required. Keep the elbows off the floor so that you're supporting yourself on your hands. Note how the back curves here in this position. And take up this alternation of the expanding of the chest and the belly here. And note, really be sure you get the top of the head on the floor rather than the forehead as the starting point. And then note if the head rolls a little as you expand the chest or abdomen, and if so, which way? If you allow the movement. If you note here, of course, the back can expand very freely. The front perhaps a little less so. So as you expand the front of the chest, maybe you find a little movement. The head rolls a little bit, the pelvis moves one direction or the other, toward the heels or away. And when you expand the belly, what happens? And note, is the length or the duration of the inhalation longer or shorter relative to the exhalation? Or is it at least different from on the back or front or standing? All right, now staying in this position, slide the left knee a little bit closer to the head. So you take up an asymmetric twist of the pelvis a little bit. Bring it forward or up enough so that you can find a little different shape and try this expansion and contraction here. Notice that change where you can expand. If you allow expansion of the belly, does the pelvis move toward the heels a little? And is it symmetric with this asymmetric arrangement? Alternately again, expanding and contracting the abdomen and the rib cage. And take the left knee down and bring the right knee up. Enough so that you find that the shape of the abdomen, the trunk, the spine is a little different. You don't have to try to fix it or anything. You just see what it's like here. It's alternately expanding the chest and belly. Remember the pelvic floor, the collarbones, the low ribs in the front and back, the sternum. And note if there's a point when you're expanding the abdomen and shrinking the chest that the pelvis moves toward the heels, and given this asymmetric configuration of the legs, what's that like? Is it different from the other side? And leave it, come to your back and rest. All right, come up to sit, and sit in a way where you can put the soles of the feet together. So the heels and the soles of the feet are together, and hold the low ribs. So take the left low ribs with the right hand and the right low ribs with the left hand, so you kind of are hugging the chest, but your fingers are on the low ribs. Maybe you can even reach around to the back a little bit, at least on one side, so you can find the low ribs there. And bend forward a little bit so the head hangs down and the back rounds a little bit here. So now the, and try this alternation of expansion and contraction of the ribs and the abdomen here with this particular positional constraint. Now here, it's a little less likely that you can expand forward and more likely that you can expand back. You note if there's any tipping of the pelvis or whether the head tends to go up or down as you expand the chest or the belly, if you don't interfere with it. And the degree that you can let the head hang with gravity, great. If not, that's, see what you can find in this position. Note the expansion of the low ribs, particular as you expand the rib cage. And see if you can leave the breathing relatively undisturbed, the pace of it, the rate of it, as you alternately expand and contract the abdomen and the rib cage here, sit in sitting. When does the head lift? When does the head lower? What's the relationship with the expansion of the rib cage or the belly? And you know, if you're, do a few more to the degree that you're interested, and when you're ready to leave it, come to your back and rest. Don't wait for others, Ralph. Just when you want to rest, rest. Sorry, I don't mean don't. I mean, there's no need to continue when others are continuing. Since some of us are relatively new, it's an important point to bring forward. You can always pause in awareness through movement and rest whenever you like. You can imagine the movement or simply leave it off. You are indeed pacing yourself in some way or another the rest of the time, so pacing yourself and resting is an implicit idea, sometimes made explicit. So note your breathing now, resting on the back. Having tried these various other configurations, what's the quality of your breathing like? Do you note a different kind of tendency to expand in one place or another on the inhalation or exhalation when you don't do anything in particular? What do you note about how the legs rest on the floor, the shoulders? What's the position of the head like? Is it different from before? And note your contact with the floor, where you find that you press into it behind you. Without any sense of correction, what's your sense of symmetry from right to left? And whatever, recall whatever impressions you recall from the beginning of the lesson, how you rested on the floor on your back, compare them to now. simply noticing difference, if you find difference. And choose a side. When you're ready to come up, you can take your time about it. Roll to one side, pausing and sitting. Gradually find your way to standing. When you come to stand, before you fix your clothes or your hair or anything else, just see what it's like to stand over your 2 feet on the floor. Know what it's like to be upright. What's the position of the head? How do the arms hang? What's the angle of the face? How does it seem compared to what you recall from what's typical? And what's the breathing like now in standing? How do you do it? How is your breathing? And then begin to take a little walk around, looking about. Call it a lesson, one that Feldenkrais called differentiation of parts and functions in breathing. Thanks, everyone.